Well, good morning, everybody. It's just lovely to see and to welcome you and wish you all a happy and a blessed new year. Trust we've all got an announcement sheet just to highlight one or two things. Do you remember United Evening Service tonight and from First to Huckle? This is a joint communion service, but we're also continuing our studies on Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith. This oncoming week, then, of first importance is a week of prayer. We would encourage as many, indeed everybody, to come to that as often as you can. Monday, Wednesday and Friday at 8 p.m. and Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Please do make an effort to try and avail yourself to some of these times of prayer. Wednesday morning, then the coffee morning, there for Ian McLean from Middle Eastern Reformed Fellowship will be the speaker there. Also next Sunday morning, we would ask the members of the group to come ASAP at 10 o'clock for a 10 o'clock start. If you can, folks, we plan to look at the video Toiter for Christ next Sunday morning, so we need to start at 10 o'clock sharp. Also been asked to mention the organisation treasurer's reports and their annual reports. Please, folks, if you can get those ready this week, if possible, please, that would help things greatly. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Glad to see you this morning. And again, let me reiterate what George said. We trust you'll know God's blessing throughout the year ahead as we look to him, as always. We're going to read God's word together as we worship God at the beginning of a new year. Let me read John chapter 1, this prologue, wonderful words which John writes. John 1, I'm just going to read the first 9 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the true light that gives light to every man coming into the world. Wonderful words. And yes, we have begun a new year. We have expectations upon our hearts. But again, God's word reminds us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We're going to worship God together with the words of our opening hymn, At Thy Feet, Our God and Father. Let's stand together as we praise God.
Thank you.
Well, let's continue to worship God. Let's bow before him and let us all pray. Our gracious God and loving Father, we thank you that on the first Sunday of a new year, that we're here to worship you, we're here to lift your name high, we're here to glorify your great name. Indeed, as we've been singing together, we gather with grateful hearts to praise our great and glorious God. Father, as we would reflect on the year that has passed, we thank you for all your goodness to us. We thank you for your gracious hand that has been upon us in so many wonderful ways. And for that, we thank you and we praise you. But as we would begin this day, and as we begin this new year stretching before us, we pray that we would know your continual goodness, that we would know your guidance, that we would know your good hand upon us day by day, indeed hour by hour. We thank you, Father, that you are the one who is sovereign, that you are the one who is ultimately in control of all of our lives. And so today we bow before you, and afresh we want to worship you, we want to say that we love you, and today we pray that even at the beginning of a new year, it may be a case that we fully commit our lives to you. We thank you, Father, for those who know and love you as Lord and Savior, and we pray that you would come, that you would stir the hearts of your people in these days, that they would see the great importance of seeking first the kingdom, of indeed having you at the center of all of their thinking and all of their doing. And we pray that this year, Lord, that our lives would indeed tell for the Master. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to indeed honor you in all that we would seek to do. And we would pray, Lord, for any gathered today who are still strangers to your saving grace, that even this day that you might come through your Holy Spirit, that you might speak very wonderfully and powerfully into their lives, that they might hear afresh the voice of God, that even this day that they might set their hearts towards you and towards heaven. We pray, O God, that even in this very meeting house today, may there those who would come under conviction of sin and come and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And so, our God, we do pray that you would presence yourself with us. We do pray for that sense of God to be here. And we pray that you indeed would receive all the praise, the glory, and the honor. So we wait upon you, Lord, with that sense of expectation, praying all of these things in our Savior's glorious name. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, could you turn, please, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through to 7. This fascinating encounter of Nicodemus coming to Jesus. And I believe we have a message here for the new year. We trust that God would take his word and use it in a powerful way. John chapter 3, reading from verse 1, this is the word of God. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." Amen. Any nearer, we know that God will indeed bless the public reading of his precious word. Now, over Christmas time, it's always lovely to have those who are serving the Lord in various places back among us. Hugh has been home from Japan. Hugh's going to give a wee update on his work next Sunday morning. And this morning, Sarah's here with us today, and Sarah's going to share about her work in Romania. So, Sarah, you're very welcome, and I ask you to come and share with us just now. Thank you.
I'm safe in your and a happy new year. Oh, we're on now. As you can see, I'm working out in a country called Romania, out in Eastern Europe, and I serve out there with an organization called Restore. Restore is a German-based organization, which also has a Romanian counterpart. Restore's vision, as you've seen from the video, is to try and break the cycle of poverty that exists in these Roma communities. We're trying to combat discrimination. These Roma people are very much pushed to the side. As you see, they lived in the muddy communities. They're pushed to the back of society, and there really isn't equal opportunities for them. And so we're working to combat that and to work with these people, and also trying to integrate the Roma families into society and give them the same opportunities that the Romanian children have in terms of education, in terms of clean drinking water, in terms of food, and also helping them to progress into society and hopefully get jobs in the local towns. As you saw from the video, it's very different to what we call home. Communities are very different. They live in very impoverished communities. Their Christmases were very different to our Christmases. But Restore is there, and we're serving through evangelism, primarily trying to share the truth of the gospel with the families that we come into contact with. We're there with education, trying to educate these children to get them into school and to keep them in school. And just engaging local families with their needs and trying to meet them with where they're at. This is my class. I teach in the after-school program 3 days a week. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We have the children for 2 hours. And in that, we're just trying to do some basic mathematics. We're trying to do some reading with them, some writing with them, and try and get them up to the standard where they can keep up with their Romanian classmates. Very often, the Roma children fall quickly behind. If they've not been in school until they're maybe 7, 8, or 9, they're put into a class at a level where it's just impossible for them to follow what the teacher's saying and to keep up. So we try and get them onto the same level to give them the same opportunities in progressing forwards. Many of their parents in my class of 26 children, only 2 of their mothers or fathers have been to school. And all those 2 parents who've been to school made it to primary 4, and then they left. So these children, it's not possible for them to go home and their parents help them with homework. So they come to our after-school program, and that's what we're trying to do there. One of the other key things in my ministry is building friendships. I love going to visit families, particularly those who've had newborn babies, because you always get cuddles there. This is a picture of my mum when she was out visiting earlier in the year, and that's something that I try and do quite regularly, to get to know the families, to make connections with them, and to be able to share God's love in that way. This lady, Yanela, who also was in the previous picture, I've gotten to know her now for about 2 or 3 years, and for the past year she's been asking me if I would study the Bible with her. And so in September, we began to sit down every Tuesday morning, and we're working our way through the book of Genesis. And this is a Christian lady, but this is the first time that she has read the Bible for herself. This is the first time that she's had someone there to explain it to her. So we're right back to the very basics of, why did God create the world? Who are we? What is our identity? And for her, this is just so encouraging and exciting to hear that she has value, that she has purpose. All of these words to her are foreign. As a Roma person growing up, you're told you're worthless, you have no value, you're pushed to the side of society. And so for her, being able to hear the truth of the gospel has just really brightened her Christian life and strengthened her faith. We also have children's clubs every week. We have split them into 2 age groups. We have a younger group and an older group. And in that, that's very similar to how a holiday Bible club is run. So we would have the Bible story, we would have songs, we would have games. We've not ventured into craft yet, because when you've over 100 children there and 4 helpers, we're not sure how that would go. But hopefully one day we'll get to that stage as well. This is our youth group, which meets on a Monday evening. And the teenagers are more at the level where that is a group discussion, that's a Bible study together. And so we're working at the moment through a series on what happens when teenagers pray, and looking at different young people throughout the Bible and what happened when they prayed in their circumstances. And that's been really encouraging with them too. 4 times a year, we meet with the ladies, and we're hoping to expand that work. So if you want to join Restore in prayer, that we would be able to find a venue. then Restore would like to be able to do that hopefully twice a month, to be able to encourage these ladies to explore the truth of the gospel and the impact that that can have on their lives. As with many organizations in Eastern Europe, we also do shoeboxes. And so we collect these shoeboxes and then they're given out to our kids groups, our youth groups, and the various school communities. This is a lady called Tetty. I'd just like to tell you a little bit of her story. So she has many siblings, 11 or 12 other siblings. And when she was 9 years old, both her parents were killed. And so all of her siblings were placed in an orphanage. However, Tetty was 9, so she was at the age where she was able to work and she was of good use to the family. So her grandmother took her and she worked for about 5 or 6 years for her grandmother doing the chores, collecting the wood and collecting the water. When she was then about 14, she had her first child. And then to fast forward, this picture was taken at the beginning of December. This is her 9th child. And that's quite normal in Roma families to have quite a lot of children. Tetty is only 1 year older than me, so she's 28. She's got 9 children. The children very frequently go without food, and yet this lady is overjoyed to have her new baby home. And she's also a lady she's not yet a Christian, but she's very open to these things. So I'd like to ask you to pray with Restore, pray for me, for the ability and language to be able to communicate effectively the truth of the gospel for her and just how that will affect her entire world to come into contact with Jesus. One of the other things I do is I'm involved in basic nursing care. As you've seen from some of the photographs, there's a lot of the wood-burning stoves, they're collecting and chopping wood, and so quite often there's very frequent accidents. I first came into contact with Teddy's family because one of her older sons was bitten by a rat, which was in his bed at night, and so I was able to treat that wound. A few weeks later, one of their daughters was bitten by a dog, and so I was with the family again. And so it's through these experiences that I'm able to connect with the families, to meet their very practical needs, but also just sit down with them and share with them who Jesus is and how he can be their savior. And one of my favorite times of the week is Sunday afternoons. On Sunday afternoon, I go out to 2 of the local Roma churches. One of them starts at 3 o'clock, the other at 5 o'clock. These are both actually in Hungarian villages. But there we have a time of praise, we have a time of worship together. This lady is called Maria. She's 85 years old, and she's been a believer for maybe about 10 or 12 years. But Maria, she hobbles about with her stick. She often goes a couple of days without food. She really struggles through life at the moment. And her current prayer is that Jesus would take her home because she knows where she's going. She's ready to go. And she's very much looking forward to being in heaven where there will be no more pain, there will be no more tears. And so we can understand that. And much as we don't want to lose her, I think she has the right mindset there. This is one of the key verses of Restore. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And sometimes I don't think we realize how privileged we are that week in, week out, we can come, we can hear Brian, we can hear other people speaking the truth of the gospel. And unfortunately, these people in Romania, they don't have that opportunity as frequently. There's quite a lot of false teaching in Romania. And so with Restore, we're just trying to share the truth, what really is the truth of the gospel, with these people that they would know and understand who Jesus is, that he died for their sins, and that as much as we need that, we all need it, every single human being. So thank you for listening, and I just pray that you will join us on the journey of Restore, join us in the ministry to these Roma people. On your way out this morning, you can receive a prayer card if you would like one. On the back of it, there's my email address. If you want to email me, you can be part of the regular prayer updates that I give, which are supposed to be monthly, but anywhere between 3 and 6 weekly is probably more accurate. And it would be great to have you as part of the journey. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you very much for sharing with us today. Very informative update on your work in Romania. And we do assure you of our prayers. Jura's telling me she's come back to Romania on Thursday, so we can particularly remember as she makes that journey back home. Never easy when you've been home and with family and enjoying all of that, then to go back. But I know she's also looking forward to coming back to the work that God has called her to. So we're going to pray together. We're going to specifically remember Sarah and her work in Romania, and indeed to pray for God's blessing upon our own congregation in these days. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that our ears have heard and our eyes have been able to see today. We thank you for the work that you have placed upon Sarah's heart, and we thank you for the calling upon her life to serve you in Romania. We thank you, Father, for this young lady who's been willing to go and to step out into many ways an uncomfortable situation and lifestyle, and willing to do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we pray that you will bless Sarah as she serves among the Roma community. We pray that she would have much joy as she seeks to do that in various ways. And we pray that she would have much joy ultimately in seeing many lives being transformed. We thank you for the work of Restore. We thank you that they seek to educate particularly the boys and girls for another generation. We pray that as they learn that their lives would be transformed through education. We thank you, Lord, for their work of evangelism, both in children's clubs and the youth groups. And we thank you for that key verse, then you will know that the truth and the truth will set you free. We pray that many would be set free in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that it is only Jesus who can do that. And our prayer would be that as that good news of the gospel is shared in Romania, that many boys and girls, teenagers, adults would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, as they seek to bring an encouragement to local families and their needs, we pray that, Lord, as they seek to bring food, as they seek to bring those Christmas gifts in the shoeboxes, we pray that through practical means that indeed would open hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we ask, Lord, that you will be with Sarah in these days. We pray that you will be with her, especially as she would make that journey back to Romania on Thursday. Go with her, go before her, and may she know the great joy of the Lord as she continues to serve you. But we realize, Lord, that that's never easy when you've been at home, been with family, enjoyed in many ways the luxuries of home. And so we pray that you will help her, Lord, just to be able to get back into the work there, be with her family as they've enjoyed her company. And we pray that they too would know God's goodness and support in the days ahead. Father, we also want to pray today for our own congregation here in Trinity Ahogel. We thank you for each family connected with us. We realize there are those who are up in years who can no longer get out to public worship, but still very much thinking about the work here, still very much praying for the work here, still very much supporting that work, even on a financial basis. And so we pray that you will be with those connected with our congregation, Lord, who are finding life difficult, even as Shura said about that lady saying her next prayer is she wants to go home. We can identify with that of those, even with our own congregation. We pray for those, Lord, who are finding life tough and difficult, that you might draw close to them, that they might know your nearer presence, and indeed you might encourage them even in the year ahead. And for those, Lord, gathered here today, we thank you that we have the health and strength to be here. We thank you, Lord, that we have the soundness of mind to meet in this building and to worship you. And we would pray, Lord, that throughout this year, that you would stir our hearts to give our very best to you and to your kingdom. Forgive us, O God, when we take things for granted. Forgive us, O God, when we neglect to take opportunities that come our way. And we ask, Lord, that you would indeed stir our hearts for you and for your kingdom. So, Lord, may you continue to work in our hearts and the hearts of those who are serving you like Sarah far away. May they know the goodness and the blessing of God. We pray all of these things in our Savior's great name. Amen. We continue to worship God as we sing that great hymn, Facing a Task Unfinished. And it is a great hymn. It's a great challenge because the task isn't finished. It's not finished here in Ahogel. It's not finished in Romania. It's not finished anywhere in the world. But we go and we take that good news to others. So let us praise God with these words, and let us think about how God would want us to serve him in days ahead. And that's our message for a new year, that no other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. May we indeed have that message in our hearts. May we share that with others around us. We continue to worship God as we present to him our tithe and offering. during which the choir are going to lead us in praise, lest we forget our Saviour's love. Your offering for the Lord's work will now be received. Well, thank the choir for that lovely piece this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all your goodness to us, for all that you've bestowed upon us. And we thank you that we can return a token of that to you today. We pray that you'll bless our giving, that you'll use it for the extending of your kingdom. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We worship God again with another great hymn, over the deep, deep love of Jesus, during which the boys and girls can leave for Children's Church. Let's stand together as we praise God.
Oh,
lovely words reminding us of that love of the Lord Jesus. Well, let's come before God's word. Turn again, please, to John chapter 3. As you're turning that up, this is my disclaimer this morning. I was very unwell last night. I wasn't sure whether I was going to be here this morning. So I'm in particular need of prayer just as I come to preach. And as always, we're going to come before God and we're going to pray for his help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the worship that we've been bringing to you today. And our prayer would be that you just now would come and that you would quieten our hearts, quieten our minds. And yes, Lord, the preacher's always in need of help, but particularly this morning, Lord, may you just take what's been prepared. May you help me as I would seek to deliver that this morning. And we pray that the Spirit of God may take it and bring it home to hearts and lives. And may you and you alone be glorified. So we look to you, Father, as always, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, it's here at last. 2019 has dawned, and perhaps like me, you were somewhat glad to see the back of 2018. And I'm sure over the festive period, you've received many Christmas cards, and the vast majority of Christmas cards carry the greeting of Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Yes, maybe even over the past few days, you've been, as you've met people, even this morning in church, people have been saying Happy New Year. Perhaps you've made telephone calls or received calls from friends and family that you wouldn't normally see. You've been wishing people a Happy New Year. It's maybe even a time when you've heard from distant relatives overseas, and all of that is a reminder of loved ones around the world. And as around the world, people have been celebrating the dawning of a new year. However, the reality is that while we celebrate a new year, the things around us and the circumstances of life are not really new at all. On Monday night at Trafalgar Square in London, thousands listened to Big Ben chiming out those hours, and then they roared Happy New Year. But of course, when they woke on Tuesday, they surely awakened to the same old problems as before. If they had a health problem on Monday, they will still have that health problem today. If they had financial problems on Monday, well, that problem might even be worse today. If they had a marriage problem on Monday, sadly, that may also be a problem today. And we know only too well that the turning of a clock to usher in a new year, it doesn't get rid of the burdens of life. Unfortunately, many will not have begun 2019 in a happy state, because when they woke on Tuesday morning, they were nursing a hangover, and there was nothing new about that. The only thing that changes at midnight on New Year's Eve is the fact that the world becomes a year older. The midnight hour is no magic hour that ushers in utopia. Yes, it is a new year, and I trust and pray that it will be a good year for each one of us. But the question I want us to wrestle with today, and hopefully answer today, is what makes a new year happy? What is it that makes a new year happy? Well, the starting point for having a happy new year is found in John 3, verses 3 to 5. And in those verses, we read of a new birth. Let me read those words again. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." And I'm sure many of you know that encounter between Jesus and Nicodemus very well. Nicodemus was initially attracted to Jesus because of the miracles he'd been performing. He wanted to know more about Jesus. He wanted to know more about the doctrines that he was teaching. Nicodemus was a teacher of Jews, and therefore he had great respect for the teacher from Galilee. In verse 1, we are told that Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a member of the Jewish ruling council. And all of that meant that here was a man who lived by the strictest possible rules, and evidence indicates that this man was deeply sincere in his quest for truth. And also in his favor was the fact that Nicodemus was a man of high moral character and possessed a deep religious hunger. However, despite all of those fine attributes, the bottom line was that Nicodemus was spiritually blind. He was a religious man, but not a saved man. Religious, but not saved. And I wonder today, does that describe you? You live a high moral life. You maybe read the Bible. You maybe say your prayers. You're quick to do a good turn to family, friends, or neighbors. You even enjoy attending church. Yes, all those things are in your favor. But you know as well that deep in your heart and in your life, the reality is that you too are still spiritually blind. Listen carefully to the words of Jesus, John 3 and verse 3, where he said, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Nicodemus didn't understand what the Savior was talking about. And as I read that, it brought encouragement to me, and it should bring encouragement and comfort to Sunday school teachers, youth workers, those who seek to share Jesus with others. Because even when Jesus spoke, the great master teacher, even when he spoke, Nicodemus did not understand, because the devil of this world had blinded his spiritual sight. Over the years and in various occasions, I've talked to people about being born again. And various replies have been given to me. Replies like, "Well, I've always attended church." Replies like, "Well, you know, Brian, I was baptized as a child." Or other replies like, "Well, I was confirmed at the age of 12. And the truth is, many people want to hold on to a religious ceremony. But I tell you today that if that is all that you're holding on to, then it's no use. Jesus said, you must be born again. And the Lord Jesus, the great master teacher, wonderfully explains this new birth to Nicodemus. To be born of water is to be born physically, but to be born again means to be born of the Spirit. Just as there are two parents for a physical birth to take place, so there are two elements for a spiritual birth to take place. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit who takes the Word of God and brings conviction on sinners. And when a sinner repents of their sin and believes in Christ as their Savior, so the Holy Spirit comes to indwell that person. And so on this first Sunday of 2019, let me make this very, very personal. Let me ask you a very direct question today. Is the Holy Spirit dwelling in your life? Being religious will never save you, but rather you must have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus wants you to have this new birth so that you can then be adopted into his family. Speaking about human birth, Jesus said in John 16 and verse 21, "A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. And likewise, I would suggest that for many, that spiritual birth does not always come easy. Many wrestle with God, and many are in anguish before they come to God and hand over their sinful lives. Tell me, as you sit in this gathering today, are you in anguish? You know that you're not saved, and you know that if you were to die right now, then you would go to that terrible place called hell. How awful. How dreadful that would be. And that's why on this first Sunday of 2019, I urge you to be born again. Do you really want to have a happy new year? Well, this is where it must start. It must start with a new birth. And it would be my joy to sit down and share with you personally how that could happen in your life, even this very day. Not only do we need a new birth, but secondly, if you're to have a happy new year, you will need a new walk. In Romans 6 and verse 14, we read, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace." And here from God's word is a challenge to every Christian, for everyone who's come through the door this morning who says, "Yes, I am saved. I know Jesus Christ as my Savior." The challenge for us is to examine our walk before a holy God. Without a doubt, I would say that there's no one more miserable than the believer who doesn't live in the right way. And maybe the truth is that as 2019 has dawned, maybe the truth is you realize that your Christian walk with God is something of a shambles. And you realize that you really have been living somewhat like a hypocrite. Yes, on a Sunday you're here and you come and you say and do the appropriate things, but maybe on a Monday you're a completely different person. Can I ask you, Christian, are you walking in step with the Master? Yes, it is a new year and we need a new walk if our life and our witness is to be effective for Christ. And as you search your heart, is it true that sin is still master over your life? You know that you're doing things that are contrary to the Word of God. And even as you would sit and think about those things this morning, you would be filled with shame. You would almost wish the ground would open up and swallow you if other people would know about that. And yet God, through His Holy Spirit, would come this morning. He would put His finger on those very problems. And as He would do so, I trust you would sort them out. Yes, as believers, we're living under grace, but that doesn't give us a license to live any old way we want to. But actually, living under grace lays upon us the responsibility of holiness. William Tyndale penned these words over 400 years ago, but they're still very relevant for today. He said, "Christian, remember that Christ made not this atonement, that thou shouldest anger God again. Neither died He for thy sins, that thou shouldest live still in them. Neither cleansed He thee, that thou shouldest return as a swine unto thine own puddle again, but thou shouldest be a new creature, and live a new life after the will of God and not of the flesh." Christian brother or sister this morning, can I ask you, does that describe your heart and life this morning? Are you going back time after time to the things of the world? Well, I want to tell you in love today that God wants your life to be different. And he wants that life to be God glorifying. In Romans 13 and verse 12, we read, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." Maybe there's one in this gathering today who needs to rededicate their life to Christ. Oh, how the Lord loves you. And oh, how he wants to forgive you. But you must come. You must seek his forgiveness. As I think about this new walk, well, in order to practice it, you must feed the new man. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read, "Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." And the beginning of a new year is always a good time to reassess your reading pattern of God's word, because it's only through reading his word that you will ever grow. I've shared before how I follow the Robert McShane daily Bible reading plan, which takes me through the entire Bible in a year. And I want to say to you, that has proved to be a great discipline in my life. Sometimes we can say, well, I'll do that, and so many other things can come in and be a distraction. But having a plan before us, working our way through that, proves indeed to be a great help and discipline. There are many helpful Bible reading notes available. And so let me urge you to feed your soul upon the Word of God. The funny thing is that many Christians seem to be exercised and concerned about how other people are getting on in their Christian walk. However, let me stop you in your tracks. Let me urge you to be concerned not about how other people are walking and what other people are doing, but be concerned about your own walk. How is it between you and the living God? If that's been examined this morning, how is it? You know your own heart. You know how things are between you and God. And so I say to you today, if you know that you're out of step with God, if you know that things are not the way they were last year or the year before or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, if you know that things are not how they once were, then I pray that before you leave this place, your walk will be restored, your walk will be renewed. So if 2019 is to be a happy year, then you will need a new birth. Yes, you will need a new walk, but thirdly and in closing, it's essential that you will have a new goal. In Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, we read the words of the Apostle Paul. "Brothers, I do not forget myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." And I believe much of God's work is hindered because there are those who think and dwell on past goals, and many who think and dwell on what they perceive to be the good old days. Yes, history is important, and we should always be thankful for our heritage. But when we're constantly looking back at the past and have little concern for the present or little vision for the future, then that cannot be healthy. I also believe that God's work is also hindered because many Christians dwell too much on their past sins and their own failures in life. And again, I say to you today that if you're truly born again, if you truly trusted Christ as your Savior, then I remind you that if God has forgiven you, then you must forgive yourself. Otherwise, you will have no victory in your Christian walk and witness. So what about this new goal? What about setting yourself a new goal for 2019? I've already touched on Bible reading. Will you set that goal today? Will you set yourself a goal to read maybe even the New Testament to start there this year? Or indeed to read the entire Bible this year? Will you do that? Will you set that as your goal? What about prayer? Will you set yourself a goal to be part of the prayer life of our congregation? This week could be a good help to get that started with our week of prayer. Reminded earlier that we'll be meeting on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday evenings, and Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday mornings. Will you commit yourself to attend at least one prayer meeting this week? We're not expecting anyone to attend all seven. We're not keeping a record of who's attending what. But will you commit yourself to being part of the prayer life of our congregation? Perhaps you've got out of the way of attending the midweek meeting. Will you make it your goal in 2019 to join with others on a Wednesday evening as we meet around God's word, as we pray? What about the goal of witnessing to others? Will you set yourself a goal to share the gospel with others this year? Imagine the difference it would make if every Christian here today set a goal of saying, well, this year with God's help, I will seek to share the gospel with 12 people this year. Yes, only 12. Just one a month. Maybe you say, well, sure, I'm already doing that. Then lift the bar higher. Lift it up to 52. Will you try to share the gospel once a week? And then just imagine if every Christian, if that became part of your daily life, witnessing for Jesus Christ every single day. What a great goal that would be. Or what about tithing? One of those awkward things that perhaps people don't want to listen to or think about. But the truth is that every year, the running cost within a congregation goes up. But again, I wonder, when was the last time when you increased your giving? And very simply, if every family could give an extra pound a week, that would increase the overall giving by £10,000 per year. Could you do that? Could you look at your weekly budget and say, well, I think we could afford to give an extra pound per week? But even better would be if every child of God sat down and said, in this year ahead, we're going to tithe all that God has given to us. Setting goals and achieving goals are never easy. But I believe we must follow Paul's instructions. And we must forget the past and we must strive for the future. We must press on with God. We must have goals and a vision for our congregation. Otherwise, it becomes stale. And as God's words remind us, that where there's no vision, people perish. As a congregation in the year ahead, I believe we must continue to be bold. We must continue to reach out into this village. Because the stark reality is that if we do not reach out into this village, we may indeed die out in the future. So if we are to have a happy new year, we must have a new birth, a new walk, and a new goal. But very briefly in conclusion, I remind you of the awful consequences of neglecting this truth? What are the consequences? No new birth. Well, that equals a lost soul. If you're here today and you're not saved, you've traveled through another year, you've heard the gospel and you know the gospel, and yet if there is no new birth, there is no new birth. And you die without Jesus Christ, even in 2019, it will mean a lost soul. No new walk, well, what does that mean? It equals a lost testimony. Maybe today you know in your own heart that your walk isn't right. You know that there are things that need to be sorted out. Then I urge you to sort them out. I urge you to be the people that God would want you to be. Don't just come up and turn up on a Sunday, but walk with Christ every day. Enjoy walking with Christ. So that even as others look upon you, they would see that you've been with Jesus. No new goals. What does that mean? Well, it may well mean lost rewards as we seek to serve our God. Men and women, I say to you today, please take on board what God is saying to us. May God help us to ensure that our lives are new and true before Him this day. And may each one of us truly have a happy 2019. May it be so for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your help this morning. Thank you for your presence among us. But especially we say thank you for your word, because your word brings a challenge to our lives. And oh, this morning on this first Sunday of a new year, how we pray for those who have never experienced that new birth in Jesus. How we pray that even this day they may close in with your offer of grace and mercy. How that even this day that they would know the transforming work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that they would be able to leave this place transformed in and through Jesus Christ. We also want to pray today, Lord, for those who need that new walk. Yes, once they walked with you, once they talked with you, once they enjoyed the things of God, but alas, they're following and the following afar off. Lord, would you just now give them that desire to get back in step, to rekindle that flame that perhaps is almost going out, to, Lord, again, just to see that love for you welling up within them, that desire to serve you. Give them the new walk, Lord. And for those who have kind of just gone through another year without any specific goals, Lord, would you indeed even impress upon our lives today just the importance of that? Perhaps it is that goal to read the scriptures more. Perhaps it is to be more in the place of prayer, and particularly in that corporate time of prayer, meeting with others. Yes, Lord, maybe there are those who have got a little bit slack about coming to the midweek. Perhaps there are those who, again, are happy to hold on to their own finance rather than tithing it. Help us, Lord, to have a burden to share your word with others, and give us a goal, Lord, to witness for you this year. Oh, Father, we pray that your word would stir us and stir us into action. We pray that we'd be ablaze for you in 2019. So, Lord, may your word indeed be written upon our hearts this day. We pray it all in the Savior's name. Amen. We conclude today with that great old hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." Maybe this needs to be your prayer this morning, that you're really coming afresh to God and saying, "Well, Lord, take it all. and yet so easy maybe at times to sing rather than putting it into practice. Let's stand together as we worship our God. Pray. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and then forevermore. Amen.